Frank DeMarco Show.
There's a lot of things I like, and I like the Greg DeMarco Show.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Really?
This is Leanne Marie, and I just wanted to say that I love Patrick O'Dowd.
We all love Greg DeMarco.
Really?
I like Greg DeMarco.
Sometimes at night, we spoon.
Anybody got time for that?
No, Greg. No, Greg. I'm serious. I love you.
Don't do it like that, baby.
Patrick, is someone tuckered out? Oh, sleepy. You gotta go to bed, huh?
Damn!
We all love Greg DeMarco.
That I love Patrick O'Dowd. Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Oh, you guys are so adorable.
That's going to be a soundbite right there.
Shut up!
What is up? When you hear that sound, you know it can only be one thing, and one thing only, and that is the Greg DeMarco Show, starring yours truly, Greg DeMarco, at GregDeMarco411 on the Twitter, or as I like to call myself, the King Solomon of the Internet Wrestling Community. And we are here for one reason, that is to help you enjoy professional wrestling more. But that's what we do, and that's why I said we. I said we for a very specific reason, because I could never, ever in a million years do this alone. It has to be done with my one and only partner, my partner in podcasting, my partner in life, my very best friend. He, in fact, is, what am I going with this week? Let me see. He is the Mike Riley to my young messing up quarterback back in the day, and that is the wrestling realist, Patrick O'Dowd, at Wrestling Realist on the Twitter. That's WRESTLNG Realist. Patrick, I came up with one on the fly. I had one planned and I screwed it up.
You really did screw that up. Like, wow.
I know. I literally came up with a bunch of them and just couldn't remember what I was going to use.
Like,
and so just kind of went
to the practice inside. In front of a mirror, didn't you? You like, you went through these, you had like a list, you left the list at home. You know,
again,
in fact, absolutely. As you came up with new ones, did you say you just made the list and write it down? Because that, I believe
I should have informed each one that it had made the list. However, I was not able to do that. And that's
then you could do it. Then you could, yeah, and see, if you'd gather right, or if you think of more of these like during the show, you already have a soundbite to do it. Like,
I know.
You don't even need to say it. No, no, don't
like,
blow.
As I think of things, I don't want to then, you know, spill the beans and sort
sure.
of, I won't say waste them,
It could be like one of those things where you don't have to share it. You just play the soundbite and everybody knows. Like, you just type everything.
That is true.
What did he come up with today?
Right? And then little do they know, I just felt like playing a soundbite. Not that I would.
You just made the list!
but I wonder how many people even get the Mike Riley reference. And it's one of, ever since I turned 40, the I'm a man, I'm 40 slogan. I used it today during dinner with the family. Like, it just comes out naturally.
Is this the part where I tell you that it wasn't Mike Riley, it was Mike Gundy?
It was Mike somebody.
It was Mike Gundy.
Now I have to restart the show.
Mike Gundy from Oklahoma State, who is rumored to be the now new Tennessee head football coach. Do you think after that debacle over there? But anyway,
I screwed up. I'm just going
to... Greg DeMarco Show.
There's a lot of things I like, and I like the Greg DeMarco Show.
Greg DeMarco.
Shut up!
I'm not really going to restart the whole show. Like, I wonder if people are like, is he going to play the whole opening again? All 1 minute and 20 seconds of the opening?
No, you can't do that.
No, I am not going to play the entire opening again. That would just be crazy. But it is me, Greg DeMarco, and alongside the snake to my mongoose, the wrestling realist. Or is it the mongoose to my snake? I don't know. I don't do animals.
It's something.
I do animals, but that's what Dr. Evil says in one of the Austin Powers movies. So, which would you rather be, the snake or the mongoose, Patrick or Dad?
I'd rather be the mongoose.
Okay, then there was one I came up with that I'll use in the future. It was the, you'll love it so much because it's the Brock Lesnar to my Paul Heyman.
Oh no!
See, and it makes sense because one person goes out there and is full of hot air and does all the talking and all this whatever,
yeah.
And then the one who actually delivers is, of course, Brock Lesnar. See, these are all rooted in you supporting me and you propping me up and you being the real reason the show is successful. That's what these are all about.
Okay, look at you.
However,
look at you laid it on thick.
They're just fun. That's right. I'm just stroking the ego. Just stroking the ego.
It's how you make up for my name not being on the show anymore.
Your name was never on the show.
It was at least a subtitle of the show. Now we just call it the Greg DeMarco Show. No, we don't even
call
it the
Greg
DeMarco
Show.
It's
Greg DeMarco and Patrick Rodin. It's
you
still the Greg DeMarco Show with Greg DeMarco and Patrick Rodin.
Nobody reads the subtitle. Nobody goes, like, The Lord of the Rings, you know, They just are like, hey, I'm going to watch Lord of the Rings. Like, nobody's like, The Two Towers. Like, nobody does that.
I don't know what to tell you. I really don't.
I'm okay with that. Like, I've come to terms. Like, I get it.
Have you?
Just like Eli Manning has come to terms with his benching.
He has. Let's just put it this way.
Boy.
If this show were The Shield, you would
Dean fucking Ambrose.
That's kind of the way it goes. You know, the least successful Shield member. Although he was, you know, for
but maybe
a while
the
there, it looked like
Shield
he was going to be the most successful.
Right?
It ebbs and it flows. He'll be back.
Nice.
He'll be back.
You know what I got to tell you? Honestly, though, I'm gonna actually segue into the show a little bit since we've done this.
What?
You know what I love about?
That's
I know.
About the show.
You know, I'm excited about this show, and you know why
Are
I'm
you?
Excited
okay.
about this show, Greg? Yeah, and I'll tell
why?
You why. Because when we started looking at the format and what we wanted to do with this show and how we wanted to be different from other podcasts, today's rundown and what we are doing today very much feels much more in our wheelhouse. As to what we want to do, in this, you know, on this show,
I would agree with that.
Because you know, we talked a lot of times, like, you know, we, and just full disclosure, spoiler alert, fans, we're not doing a reaction show. We're not doing really a rundown of what we've seen on TV too much.
No, there's plenty. If you want that, you can go find it. Trust me, it is out
well,
there.
And that's the
it
thing.
Is everywhere.
And that's the thing that I love about where we're really going with this format now, because it's not and don't worry, loyal fan, we're going to talk about things that are relevant to what's going on currently.
We're talking about the University of Tennessee coaching search.
We're not talking about
Tennessee's head coaching debacle.
Yeah, fellow basement dwellers, rest assured that we will continue to talk to you about stuff going on in wrestling right now. We just Like Greg said, everybody talks about, like, the storylines and the plots. And I think that this is one of those shows where I'm really excited because we're moving past that in a lot of ways.
We'll talk about it a little bit.
Yeah.
Our wheelhouse is we are here to help you enjoy wrestling more. That's what we have become. That's what we've grown into. It's funny. I told my wife today as we were talking about the show before I took off to you know, start early and record with you and everything. I told her it's kind of like Patrick and Greg all grown up. And if if you go back and listen to the early shows, we had moments where we were smart, but we were kind of markish. We were kind of indie wanker, smart. Like we were more IWC than we are now. And we've grown up to where that portion is still there, but it's much smaller. And the smart side is a lot bigger, and we've been through a hell of a lot since then, and in life, and in wrestling, and in everything, to the point of,
I mean,
you know, when you put on a show or are helping run a show, your perspective changes 180 degrees on the wrestling business. It just does. And you cannot get away from that. And then you just realize, oh, my God, like, I really, like, I thought that, like, it just, you know. Those thoughts kind of come through your head a little bit, and that's really where we are, and that's not a bad thing.
You know where I felt like we made it It was.
When did you think we made it?
When you were blocked by Abyss. You know, that's when
been
we were
a while.
I know. I'm just. I love bringing
this
it up. And then you got blocked by Titus O'Neil. Still don't get
that. And Goldberg. Don't forget about
Goldberg. I mean, you don't like Goldberg very much. I mean, you're such a Lesnar guy. I get it.
But I have nothing against Goldberg. Nor have I
know,
ever spoken
weird.
Out against Goldberg. I never even tweeted at Goldberg. Like, I have no idea how I'm blocked by Goldberg. None.
A bit caught wind.
In fact, I've only supported Titus. They must be friends in real life. IRL. They must
something,
be friends
something.
Because I am a Titus supporter. Like, I love Titus O'Neil. I still love Titus O'Neil. Like, I'm confused. And I'm not confused like the guy who thinks doesn't understand why the girl doesn't like her or like him when that's blatantly obvious why she doesn't like you, bro. But, like,
yeah.
It's not blatantly obvious why Titus doesn't like me, bro. Like, I'm a Titus
yeah.
guy. I love I Titus Worldwide. I've written in support of Titus Worldwide. I wanted them to move Titus – okay. I wanted them to move Titus Worldwide to NXT, but because I thought that Cruz and Tozawa would be a hilarious and amazing tag team in NXT.
Oh, absolutely.
And actually get an opportunity to shine. Of course, they just, you know, unceremoniously removed Tozawa from Titus Worldwide with no reasoning or, you know, even advice whatsoever. He just stopped coming up with them.
Vince soured
so,
on him.
It's like, yeah, you had your brief title run. Now you're gone. So we're in the wheelhouse, Patrick.
yeah, I was like,
go for it because it's funny. You know, we used to do like the bullshit segments and have a lot of fun with that. There's a lot of things that we would do, and now it's you know it's honestly to the point where this entire episode is the bullshit segment for quite some time. And it's not all bullshit because there are real things to talk about within the bullshit, and so. But you know what, we made this happen.
Agencies around the world are receiving breaking news that CM Punk has sneezed while at a hockey game, which clearly indicates he has signed a new contract with WWE. He then confirmed his return by tweeting something completely unrelated to wrestling. Backstage sources believe he'll come back at SummerSlam, but plans may change.
Patrick, this is Leigh Emery, and I just wanted to say that I love Patrick Adele.
Oh, no, the snow. Bullshit, 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 bullshit.
The wrestling realist Patrick O'Dowd's bullshit internet report of the week.
And like I said, it isn't really about the bullshit, but it's really going to be the launching pad for some of these topics. And the way we have it organized today, in all honesty, we're not starting with the big one. We kind of have like a preliminary match, to use wrestling terminology, to begin with. We got an undercard and a main event today when it comes to these stories. So kick us off, Patrick.
Well, now I'm not sure if I'm reading it the right. Am I reading at the top? Like you just said.
Yeah. Start at the top. Because that's not that big of a deal to me at this point, to be honest with you.
Okay. So, one, before I go into this, I got to tell you, this is what happens when Patrick O'Dowd works the Friday after Thanksgiving. Because this was like, it was like, we got to talk about this. And then you'd be like, yeah, we ought to talk about this. Like, that was the whole day. No, nothing accomplished on the workplace. But we're going to start. We're going to start by talking about a story that came courtesy of ProWrestling.com regarding
good friends.
Yep, good friends of the show.
Really good friends.
Talking about a couple of men that we've actually met in person, doing some things on SmackDown right now. That would be one
of
Kevin Owens.
Been on this program.
Yes, that is true. Took some time to talk to us for like 5 minutes. It was super nice.
Yeah,
but
and then didn't show up for the second one. He had a legitimate reason.
Okay.
He had a real reason. We've talked about that.
Yep. But those are one Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and you know this is a story that's just had some life going on for a while, and it's about the rumored heat going on in the background backstage for Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and so you know according to ProWrestling.com. Both Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn garnered some considerable backstage heat in the WWE when they, quote, went into business for themselves at the WWE SmackDown TV tapings in Manchester, the United Kingdom. The two were subsequently sent home for the remainder of the WWE overseas tour. In an update on the situation, the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, also a friend of the program, is reporting heat from the incident is gone as it pertains to Kevin Owens, but the same cannot be said for Sami Zayn. End report.
It's the best part, too. Like, you just end it right there. The same cannot be said. And we're reading an excerpt from the article. The article ends there. In fact, it's pretty much the entire article. is this whole little 180 words or whatever it is that's sitting right there. I love this when you said it to me. Like, and I'd seen it already, but it just made me smile. And so I'll go first. Only because this is the classic, we didn't get enough out of a story, so we're going to milk it for some more. Because suddenly Kevin Owens is okay and Sami Zayn's not. Now, here's the thing. If you go back and you look at WWE history, there are plenty of times when multiple people, quote-unquote, get in trouble for something, and one person suffers more than the rest. It's kind of a Vince thing to do. And the biggest name he ever did it to was Triple H, when they had the curtain call, and the Click had the curtain call, and it involved four people. It involved Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, Shawn Michaels, and Triple H. Now, Hall and Nash weren't going to suffer any repercussions. They were leaving. They were gone. Shawn Michaels was champion at the time, and he was Shawn Michaels. He wasn't going to suffer any repercussions. So Triple H had to do, as he's put it in his own words, eat shit and like it for a year. And he did. He lost his King of the Ring crown that he was supposed to win. That went to some guy named Steve, that I don't know whatever he became in the business. Probably, I think he did okay for himself. And he had to freaking wrestle hog pen matches and really stupid shit. But you know what? Things turned out okay for Triple H as well.
Yeah, I think it seemed to work okay for him. You know, I don't.
It really did.
I don't know.
His career
seems to have stalled lately, Greg. Like, he only seems to be allowed to work about two or three shows.
They're holding him back big time.
I think maybe the locker, there's some locker room heat there too.
There could be a WrestleMania 30 swelling of fan support for Triple H to get a marquee match at WrestleMania 34. I feel it.
I know. I mean,
the fans are going to change the booking, Patrick.
The fans are going to change the booking. They're going to make it. You know, we're ripping on this, and rightfully so, because I remember when I sent it to you. I think this is the article where, well, like, you responded to it. And I was like, it's not even sourced, like, about anything. Like, there, like,
it is.
The Wrestling Observer was so.
The Wrestling Observer.
But the Wrestling Observer was so lazy in writing this sentence that they didn't even have, like, a sources said. Like, the same cannot be said for Sami Zayn. Does that mean that just nobody mentioned Sami Zayn? Yeah.
I don't know what the Wrestling Observer, and if they got it off the Observer website, the Observer podcast.
Who knows? The other thing that I find really interesting is that for a guy being punished, he's kind of running a relatively prominent role right now. Like, he's the fall guy.
Yeah.
But he was always going to be the fall guy. Like, that's his place. Like,
and he's perfect.
Owens is the guy.
He's perfect for the role. Like, if you took an underdog babyface, this is like the heel equivalent to that.
Yep.
He's kind of like, you know, the guy in Friday who's talking shit to everybody and then gets stuffed in the dumpster. Like, that's what Sami Zayn is, and it's perfect for him. He's amazing at it, and Kevin Owens loves him just enough to bail him out, even though they're heels, even though, you know, in modern-day wrestling, they're kind of the faces in all the shit that's going on, and the faces are really the heels, but that's what happens in modern-day wrestling anyway. So that's kind of what we do. But this, I just cannot see this story being true in any way, shape, or form, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a stretch at best. It's one of those things, like, it's one of those stories, and we're going to probably talk about this a little bit more as we get more into the show today. If there's one thing that a lot of these websites and a lot of these reporters are notorious for, is that sometimes they write these stories that tell the narrative that fans sort of want to believe anyway about people they like. And so you just sort of give credence to that narrative, and it'll allow somebody to then be like, well, what do you think about Sami Zayn having heat backstage?
They're going to have that conversation. It's like, I guarantee you, we will see some kind of report in the next 48 hours, because, as you know, we do this on Tuesday nights, where you know, Zack Ryder has heat, and that's why Mojo Rawley turned on him and destroyed the Hype Bros. I said it in the chat, and I'll say it again. Unless Mojo denounces being hype, he's not a heel, in my opinion. Because if he's still staying hype, that's not heel. That's still face. But I kid. That's really all Mojo has going for him. You know, he really turned that Andre Battle Royal win into something. I guess he Cesaro'd the Battle Royal, unfortunately, though. And that's sad for me to say, but true.
Yep, absolutely. I believe it.
But I don't buy the story whatsoever.
Not at all. Nope.
Not
right there with you.
But that's – so now your palate is wet, wrestling fans. Now your palate is wet. But this next one is a doozy, and I love it for so many different reasons. And in fact, it's going to surprise some people. And then when we talk about it, that's all I'm going to say. But it's going to take a minute for Patrick to set the table because it's quite the place setting. It's not just a simple plate and fork on this one. You got to really get some background. So let's jump in if you're ready, because I know it's a doozy.
I mean, I know I got a lot of reading to do here.
Put on the
button. You shared a they never come off. You shared this article with me, I think, again, on the infamous Friday. And I used the term article loosely, from a website called The Dirty Sheets.
The Dirty Sheets, plural.
The Dirty Sheets, plural. More than one sheet.
Yes, multiple dirty sheets. Multiple people who have not done laundry.
There you go. Writing a story about our good friend of the program, Dave Meltzer. And so I'm going to try to do my best to sum this up accurately. But this is pulled from the article, people, so not my words. In what has already been an embarrassing year for Dave Meltzer, with him being over 80% inaccurate throughout the year, our sources have revealed there is no truth to his story that a Lesnar versus Balor match was scrapped due to Balor not being over, as reported by Meltzer. The plan was for Balor to face Lesnar as late as the Survivor Series Go Home show, when Paul Heyman was scripted to say that Finn Balor and AJ would have to figure out amongst themselves who the best in-ring performer in the world currently is. This was an early seed for Balor versus Lesnar. However, a decision was made to scrap the match a few days later. Not because Balor wasn't over, but to protect his demon gimmick, which remained unbeaten on the main roster. McMahon felt that there would be nowhere to go with Balor if they defeated the gimmick this early into his tenure, seeing as they are using the gimmick to win feuds to keep Balor strong, allowing Balor to lose non-demon matches without losing too much credibility, in parentheses, according to the company. Balor's demon merchandise is also one of the top-selling lines of merchandise in the company, in the same bracket as The New Day, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, and AJ Styles, but significantly trailing Roman Reigns and John Cena. This further discredits Meltzer's fabricated claim that McMahon feels that Balor isn't over. This is another embarrassment for Meltzer, who has been wrong throughout the year. Some of Meltzer's biggest errors this year include reporting, and then the article goes into a list of areas they claim Meltzer was wrong and the Dirty Sheets was right. They then state, Dave Meltzer was once a semi-reliable source. However, since incorrectly reporting that CM Punk would be returning in Chicago in March 2014, he has been far more missed than hit. We have it on very good authority that Meltzer is not liked by the WWE and has zero sources left within the company. Anyone caught talking to Meltzer would be instantly let go. That's amazing. We feel this may have been the case with Jimmy Jacobs. That's doubly amazing. But that is purely speculation. Triple amazing. Meltzer appears to be remaining relevant based on a reputation that he built many moons ago. Holy shit, dude. Holy shit.
First of all, to be fair to the Dirty Sheets, they did not say it was amazing. That was the wrestling realist Patrick O'Dowd.
No, yeah, that was all.
He said those things were amazing. And it's okay, because it is amazing. Okay, so here's the thing. And this is why, if you've ever listened to this program, if you've ever read, let me give people some background. Several years ago, many moons ago, as the Dirty Sheets would put it, I was told by 411 Mania to stop ripping Dave Meltzer. Literally received an email from Larry Zonka that was basically said, look, you're right. We all know you're right, but stop doing it. And it's because they report the shit out of Dave Meltzer stuff. And everyone reads the shit out of Dave Meltzer stuff. We talk the shit out of Dave Meltzer stuff. We all do it. And I was told to stop, even though we all know that the guy can sometimes be full of shit. His speculation has turned into news. I've said before he doesn't have the sources like he used to. I do believe he's used at times by the WWE to leak out information they want to have leak out, just like other sources are, and that's kind of how this business works. But in this case, Dave Meltzer is 100% the victim, and I will sit here and go to bat for Dave Meltzer on this one. And it's a because the Dirty Sheets, first of all, who the fuck is Billy Boddy? Because that's who the Dirty Sheets is. Some dude who wrote for Sports Keita and had a podcast on Sports Keita, along with a guy named who goes by Nick from New York. That's what we are nowadays. Thanks to Barstool Sports, we have names like PFT Commenter and the Big Cat that are hosting shows and even getting one episode on ESPN before they cancel it because ESPN taught University of Tennessee how to reverse on things when they canceled the Barstool show. But that's a whole other topic for a whole other show that we don't even do. But it's just crazy because Dave Meltzer, like him or not, he's a fucking institution. I can't argue against that. And as much as it pains me to say, because the guy makes a full-time living off of covering wrestling and mixed martial arts. And that's indisputable. He does. People still pay money for him to mail them a newsletter. In the mail. Paper copy. In the mail. He still has subscribers who go for that. All right? People pay money to write and read his message board at his website and listen to a podcast. And very few podcasts are paid for these days because they're supported by advertising and they're free. But this site is purely trying to establish their own reputation at Dave Meltzer's expense. Put it this way. No one is tracking the accuracy rate of the Dirty Sheets. But these guys are tracking the accuracy rate of Dave Meltzer. So I ask you, Patrick O'Dowd, who's the fucking mark in this situation?
Oh, I don't know. It might be... it's the Dirty Sheets. It's the Dirty Sheets.
Yeah, it's the Dirty Sheets.
It's the whole fucking website. Like, I thought about it for a second. I was like, well, maybe, because you're right. We are so hard on Dave. We love going after Dave. We'll all know. We have been, both of us have been confronted. We'll use the word confronted by loyalists of Dave Meltzer at different points on social media, the Twitter comments and on articles and on the podcast.
But here's the thing about Dave Meltzer. I'll put it this way for the listeners. It's kind of like, if I'm a head coach and I'm standing at the podium and I'm sick and tired of the questions that the reporter is asking, I'm fucking pissed at the reporter. I don't like the reporter. But the reporter's just doing his damn job. And that's all Meltzer's doing. He's just doing his damn job. We just don't like the job he has to do and the job that he's given himself to do. Now, he could maybe go do something else for a living, but that's his choice. And in this case, it's like at least rip on Meltzer for the right thing. If they just said Meltzer's a hack, he was wrong. But first of all, what fucking sources do they have? Because I see very few websites ever quoting Billy Boddy, Nick from New York, and the Dirty Sheets. Rarely ever do I see anyone lending them any credibility. So I ask them, what sources do they have? But to then lay into him, and they listed a good 12 to 15 items that they claim he was wrong about, and then they claim credit for. And this site claimed that they said Roman Reigns is going to win the Intercontinental Championship back in May of this year. And I don't know if they did or if they didn't, and I really don't care, but it just doesn't bode well for me, and it just doesn't gel with me to read what they're doing. Because if you want to establish yourself, go on out there and establish yourself. I established myself on being an asshole and telling my feelings as I felt them, having opinion, having a strong opinion, and sticking to it. But the one thing about my opinion that differs from a lot of other people is that it's genuine. All the crap I spew, I believe in 100%, and that will never change. I'm not going to sit here and share an opinion that I don't actually believe in. This isn't the debate club where I'm forced to pick a side. I pick my side, and I stick with it. If we agree, we agree, and if we don't, we don't. But the job is to be entertaining. But these guys are going full bore in one direction, trying to completely discredit Dave Meltzer in order to credit themselves. And build your reputation on your own. Don't try to tear his down to build yours. It's kind of like what women do to women and what women are trying to stop other women from doing. Like the internet reporting thing on wrestling is so scrutinized and so hard. Like, these guys should probably watch each other's back a little bit instead of trying to stab each other in the back.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. And yeah, I don't really know that there's much more I can add there. It's poor. It's poor form. It doesn't make you look credible. It makes you sound desperate at best. Just straight up crazy and stupid at worst, in my opinion.
But let's flip this around a little bit.
Sure.
Here's the wrestling side of it, not just the wrestling news side of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Vince McMahon ever thought Finn Balor wasn't over. He put the fucking Universal Championship on him. He was the first ever Universal Champion. The guy gets an amazing reaction. And in terms of and if you want to put this on the Demon and them not wanting to discredit the Demon, well, that's super easy to do. He just doesn't come out as a Demon at the Royal Rumble. Like, there's nothing that says he has to be the Demon on a big four pay-per-view. Like, that's just simply not the case. And so to kind of come out here and make claim, like, that's a little wishy-washy to me anyway. I don't even know. And there were other reports out there that Balor versus Lesnar was never the plan. So were they also going to go after that person? Because maybe that was never really the plan anyway. Finn Balor's got an amazing career ahead of him. He's already accomplished.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The only thing, you know, I said it last week, the only thing I disagree with right now is that he should be the Intercontinental Champion and not Roman Reigns. But that's the only thing. Like, I don't see Finn Balor being in a bad position, but I think it's just people who just, you know, because he's not champ right now, because he's not winning every match, they're going to be upset because he got bitch slapped by Kane with 3 choke slams. He lost to Joe. Like, he's still very much Finn Balor.
Yeah, you know, I think the big comment I had over this last week, and that I said to you, was just how full circle the internet bullshit went with this whole thing. Because the start of the cycle was, you know, Finn Balor's losing, so he must be completely out of favor with the boss. And, you know, here we are over a week later, and now we're talking about, the prevailing rumor that people are trying to run with is that, you know, Vince is trying to protect the Demon. If you watch wrestling at all, at any level, then you understand that it's unless your name is Bray Wyatt, like, you're going to come back up to the top. Like, it's cyclical. And that's just the way it works, unless you're Bray Wyatt. And then you have to tweet sad things like, come home, and go through that. So, it's just...
Or you
just
break Matt Hardy and make everyone happy.
God, I hope so. But no, it's one of those things where you're looking at this, it's a Daniel Bryan syndrome, and I know I'm hoping to use that to help you segue into the next part. But, you know, this whole thing where it's like, you know, Balor's being mistreated, this is being terrible, how terrible is Finn? Because they love Finn.
Right. And you would never write this stuff about, you know, Elias, or maybe you would, because people love Elias. You never write this about Jason Jordan right now. People wouldn't be like, oh, Jason Jordan, people are trying to build up support for Jason Jordan because everyone's down on him. Like, Kurt Angle recently said in an interview, he thinks Jason Jordan is one of the 3 most talented people in the company. And this wasn't his fake dad talking. Like, he literally said he's as good as AJ Styles, he just does it in a different way. Now, Kurt Angle wrestles the same style that Jason Jordan does, so obviously Kurt Angle's going to have that appreciation for Jason Jordan.
Sure.
But I've been saying it, too. I said Jason Jordan will be world champion someday, and people will love him, and we will get there. It'll take years. I'm not saying this is tomorrow. That's the thing. Everyone just thinks about wrestling, they think about tomorrow. We're talking 12 to 24 months down the road.
I'll give you 2 other names of people, regardless of style, that people like hated. That one, don't you dare say that about them now. There's this guy. I remember he used to get made fun of all the time because he can't work. He was terrible. He got pushed when he was too young. Blah 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 blah. And now RKO out of nowhere drives people crazy in a good way. One Randall Orton.
Well, he's down. It's going back down for him though. People don't love Randy anymore.
Well, he'll be okay.
Boring again.
I'm sure it'll be okay. Then there's this other guy. Let me take you back to the late 90s when this guy debuted in really colorful attire, was a legacy guy, but he just didn't have it. And people thought he was boring and stupid. He was a blue chipper.
Yeah, he was. They wanted him to die.
He was related to this high chief guy, something Maivia. Yeah. That's Rocky Maivia. I think that was his name.
Rocky.
He was terrible.
Yeah, he's named after his dad too. His dad, Rocky Johnson, horrible.
Yeah, he was the worst guy ever, and was never gonna make it in wrestling. It was gonna be just awful, and we hate him forever. And he's gonna suck because he's just not worth our time. You know, it seems like we're starting to.
He was even labeled as a terrible Intercontinental Champion the first time he won it.
Yeah,
which he won, by the way, over the fucking Sultan. Like, he won over the Sultan, people. It's okay.
But what happened to him?
Yeah, I don't know what happened to The Rock. I don't see him anymore. Oh, it's because he's a fucking Hollywood A-lister.
You mean Dwayne?
Making all kinds of movies after main eventing. Yeah, Dwayne. Good old Dwayne. I love that Ethan Page, when Ethan Page uses the Uranaki, it's called the spinning Dwayne. Like, that's just the best thing in the world. That just makes me smile every day. There's even a third name on that list, Patrick O'Dowd. His name is John Cena.
Oh, yeah.
The most profitable wrestler in the history of the business. People hated John Cena. He was shoved at our throats. It was Super Cena. Super Cena was a real thing before it was a joke, like it is now. Mm-hmm. And now everyone loves John Cena. And we're complaining because John Cena wasn't given enough spotlight in Survivor Series. Like, we've gotten that far where people are complaining that John Cena is not being used properly. They're complaining. They're saying the same thing about John Cena. They're saying about Neville. Okay. Like, that's John Cena is an internet darling right now. Like, think about that. And someday so will Jason Jordan, and someday so will Roman Reigns, which, by the way, last night on Raw, when Roman hit the spear on Elias, the crowd popped. Then they chanted along with a three count, and then they cheered for him when he won. They didn't boo until he got to the stage and held up the title, and they realized, oh, we're supposed to boo this guy. Like he's following the John Cena timeline, but like five times as fast. Because it's 2017, and it's the internet age, and everything's so much quicker right now with social media. But, like, we will love Roman Reigns by WrestleMania. And when I say we, I mean them, because we've loved them anyway.
I was like, yeah, I've been on Team Reigns from the get-go.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we've been smart to it. We've been smart to it. But the people out there and the ones that still hate him. And it's funny to see. By the way, today, I tweeted. You know, I tweet all the time. And I get some love. So today I sent out a tweet pointing out that Roman Reigns is carrying the Intercontinental Championship the same exact way Eddie Guerrero would. And because everyone's shitting over the way Roman's disrespecting the title. Taking it off him right now. I got all kinds of likes and retweets on that from all the Roman fans. Like, you just tweet Roman Reigns and shit goes crazy. Like, it's amazing. It's, it's hilarious. But with the Finn Balor thing, we can't really move on from it until you read the next one. Because the next one just really makes me smile.
Really makes you smile. So, from Forbes headline, Finn Balor is brilliantly manipulating WWE fans into making him the next Daniel Bryan. Always
now,
a master of social...
Wait. We're still going to read the snippet, but we almost don't have to. Just read that headline again. It's so good.
Finn Balor is brilliantly manipulating WWE fans into making him the next Daniel Bryan.
Okay, keep going.
Always a master of social media manipulation, Balor has pounced on the perception that, quote, the man is keeping him down. And for the product of New Japan Pro Wrestling, the timing for a dirt sheet story like this couldn't be better. And the potential payoff could be bountiful within a hardcore wrestling community that almost mindlessly rallies behind former prominent independent wrestlers. In 2014, Daniel Bryan was the subject of similar reports of falling out of favor with the WWE officials after his main event against John Cena at Summerland 2013 was publicly considered a swing and a miss. In the words of Vince McMahon, WWE had no plans of pushing Bryan as a main eventer ahead of WrestleMania 30, which called for Batista to take on Randy Orton in a dreaded matchup that many fans rejected just as passionately as they begged for Bryan to be involved.
Alfred Kanawa calls himself Freak Nasty, and at one point I think he actually wrote for Bleacher Report under the moniker of Freak Nasty. So this should tell you everything you need to know about this guy to begin with, and in terms of what he's doing here. So he thinks WrestleMania 30 was real, and he thinks that the fans really put Daniel Bryan in the main event. That it wasn't the story all along. That the WWE didn't do the same manipulating he's telling you Finn Balor's doing, when Finn Balor's not even doing that. Finn Balor is mocking the very thing this guy is talking about. Like Finn Balor is when he puts out the turkey and the Thanksgiving picture and says, I'm over cooking this turkey, and posts other pictures and everything, he's mocking the internet reports. He's mocking that perception because it's not fucking true. Just like Daniel Bryan wasn't really being held down by the authority and really had to win his way into the main event of WrestleMania. Like, that's how you tell a story in the social media age. But people don't want to admit they're getting worked. But this guy is getting worked, and now he's getting worked in a different way. It's just so funny when it's the Hulk Hogan meme. Like, he's working himself into a shoot mark, whatever he says, brother. Like, that's what this guy is. And I feel bad for him. And I want to pat him on the head when I read things like this.
I don't even feel bad for him. I'm tired of feeling bad for people like this. Like, I'm tired of, this is just so again, we see this so much, Greg. We see this so often, and this is why
they want it to be real.
Well, that's the thing. This is why we do the show that we do, because you sit there and you look at this and you hear the hoofbeats and you think zebra, you don't think horsey. And I use that phrase a lot because we do this so much in wrestling, and we refuse to believe what our eyes tell us. We want to believe. We all want to be insiders. Let's start with that. We all want to be insiders. And then two, we want there's a reason we get on our high horse when we guess right. You know what I mean? There is that feeling of we knew it. We called it. And the fans really want to believe that they turned a story around. And it's not to say that has never happened before. There have been very rare incidents where fans have changed a direction with a story. Generally, that is is turning a heel to a face or vice versa.
Right.
It's never getting someone a bone.
It's never getting someone a WrestleMania main event.
Yes.
Okay, which is a major investment that takes months of planning by a company.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, I don't think people understand how long it takes to do that.
Yeah, now we've talked about it before. There were bumps along the way in the Daniel Bryan thing. There were times where people thought, is Vince going to pull the plug on this? But the triumphant moment happened with Daniel Bryan raising the two belts, chanting yes, with all the pomp and circumstance and all the confetti and everything else. That was created by the WWE. That was not created by you fans. That was created by the WWE. Now,
it was just embraced
by this. Right, exactly. It was done for you, and you bought into it. Hook, line, and sinker, like you were supposed to. Like any other form of entertainment that plays on your emotions, and you watch it so that it will do that. This, it served its purpose. It's just not what you wanted it to do. You wanted to believe that you made that change and you made that difference, and they wanted you to think that too, but now you are not willing to admit that it was actually entertainment and it was actually scripted. That's like watching a movie and the bad guy dies, and you actually thinking the good guy really killed that bad guy and that it wasn't a movie script that made that happen. But here's the thing. Here's why we are where we are in 2017, even though that happened in 2014. But professional wrestling is fake, all right? And I know people hate the word fake because it's real. It takes a toll on your body. You're really getting hit. You're really taking bumps. Those chair shots are real. All of it's real. But here's the thing. It was exposed as being scripted and predetermined a long time ago, and to the point where the WWE even admitted it in legal documents. But the aura and the allure of professional wrestling is thinking that it's real. So what the WWE has done is they've taken this desire to be an insider, this desire to be backstage, this desire to know it all, and made that the real portion of professional wrestling for the fans, for the hardcore fans. Because the casual fans know it's fake and they don't give a shit. They know they go watch wrestling the same reason they go watch movies. It's campy, it's fun, they go, they have a good time, they drink, they go home, they might get laid that night, and it's great. Like, that's what it is for the casual fan. But for the hardcore fan, the WWE has created a whole new kind of realism that's not really real. They used to make you think that the punches were real. Now they make you think the politics are real, and what the fans are doing is real. And there are real politics, but you usually don't see them on television. You did sometimes in the Attitude Era. But now in this day and age, it's all so carefully crafted and scripted that what you see is planned, even stuff like this. So for this guy to talk about that Finn Balor is trying to create his own Daniel Bryan movement when Daniel Bryan never created a Daniel Bryan movement, that's just fucking insane. That just shows how far off base this dude is, whether he really feels that way, which I think he does, or whether he's just trying to buy into it and report from a Mark perspective, which I seriously doubt, because he talks about how his tagline in Forbes talks about that. He says he writes about the guys who wrestle in tights, or he writes about the guys in tights who make money for the guys in suits. Like, that's his little fancy little tagline. But it shows that he knows absolutely nothing about the guys in tights or the guys in suits.
Yeah, because if he knew about the guys in suits, he'd have a little bit more love for them. Anyway.
So the whole thing is just laughable to me. Like, Finn Balor is the same Finn Balor he was before all this shit came out. And he's going to be fine.
His name's not Bray Wyatt, so don't worry about it.
Exactly. His name's not Bray Wyatt. And here's the thing. They talk about protecting the demon. Finn shouldn't need the demon to beat Bray Wyatt. Like,
no.
He didn't need the demon to beat Bray Wyatt. He beat Bray Wyatt without the demon. They were going to bust out the demon again. And to me, that was just to sell pay-per-views, which means he's over. If you're going to bust out the demon to sell pay-per-views, he's over.
Yep.
Just like you busted out John Cena to sell Survivor Series, because he's over. All right? He's John Cena, and he's over. And you don't need the demon to sell the Royal Rumble. Okay?
Yeah.
Finn Balor could have wrestled Brock Lesnar as Finn Balor, and it would have been fine. In fact, it could have set up a future match between the two of them, where he did use the demon, and he didn't have to lose like he would have to lose the Royal Rumble, and it'd be fine. The Royal Rumble is going to be Brock Lesnar versus John Cena. I can see it coming from a mile away, because it's the Royal Rumble, and it doesn't matter who wrestles Brock Lesnar, because we all know Brock Lesnar is going to win. Do you think Brock Lesnar is going to lose, Patrick or Dad?
No.
Brock Lesnar is going to win. So they're going to put him against John Cena for the same reason John Cena wrestled in Survivor Series. Because it sells pay-per-views. Because you know John Cena's not going to win the Royal Rumble. Right? We all know it's going to be somebody from SmackDown. Probably Shinsuke Nakamura is going to win the Royal Rumble. Like I said last summer, by the way, just want to point that out. I'm going to pull a dirty sheets on everybody right now and tell you when I said something was going to happen. All right? But I don't have any better knowledge. I'm just calling my shot. I don't have, quote-unquote, sources are telling me. Like, I could be like, my sources have told me Shinsuke Nakamura is going to win the Royal Rumble. Then when he wins the Royal Rumble, I'll be like, boom, my sources are validated. I ain't got no fucking sources. I got as many sources as those guys do, because I ain't got no fucking sources. 100%. But that's the thing, like you're going to do Brock Lesnar versus John Cena in the Royal Rumble because it'll be entertaining. It'll be a good match. It's not going to be the SummerSlam destruction of John Cena. They already went that route. It'll be John Cena wrestling the style of his opponent, putting on an entertaining match like John Cena does, and we'll all very much enjoy it, and Brock Lesnar will win. It'll be interesting to see if John Cena kicks out of the F5, because there have been reports that no one's kicking out of the F5 until WrestleMania, and it wouldn't surprise me. It's John Cena. John Cena kicks out of the F5. Like, it's John Cena.
Yeah.
He kicked out of F5s. Even at the SummerSlam where he was destroyed, he kicked out of the F5. And that was a while ago. Completely different era at this point in wrestling.
Sure.
Changed. But that's my prediction. I think we are going to see John Cena versus Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble, and Finn Balor will probably be in the Rumble match itself as Finn Balor, not as the demon. And it's all going to be fine.
And you I'm glad you brought that you need to stop talking now. You have talked too much, sir.
Okay.
Like, good God, man.
Shut your dumb mouth.
You went away from the topic to talk about John Cena for about seven. No, not 7 minutes, but good Lord,
man. LOL, Cena gets covered.
Yeah, I mean, it's not Charlotte. I bet you Charlotte would be no, I'm just kidding. I don't think that would happen.
Charlotte also can't wrestle Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble because they got to protect Charlotte.
Yeah, got to protect Charlotte and Asuka. But anyway, yes. I think that you've hit it on the head. I think that it is really, like, we know where this is going. We know what's going to happen. It's going to be okay. Balor's departure is not imminent, people. So relax.
That was a rumor at one point, too, that Balor's going to leave.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Balor's a hot topic, and Balor always will be a hot topic. Here's the thing. And I listen to this stuff, and sometimes I just think, why can't we just write articles and talk about what happens on television? Like, why can't we write articles and talk about, you know, the amazing performances that Elias is delivering and how he deserved to be in that match with Roman Reigns on Raw and how Finn Balor put a good match on with Kane on Raw and won by disqualification because Kane had hit him with a chair because Kane couldn't beat him otherwise, bringing that whole thing full circle. We can't because we want to write about what we think is real. And so we write about all these controversies and everything that aren't real. But honestly, what's on television is entertaining enough, and we should be able to cover
very
those
much
things,
so.
In my opinion.
But I agree with you. I really want us to go to the next topic because of what just popped up in my news feed.
Okay, before we do, I want to make one other. So I've predicted that Brock Lesnar will wrestle. I will keep going. So I predicted that Brock Lesnar will wrestle John Cena at WrestleMania. Patrick Riddell, I'm going to go off the deep end with another prediction. And if it goes right, then you know people will never, ever, 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 ever hear the end of it. I'm trying to see if I still even have the soundbite that I can play to accompany it, and I'm not 100% sure that I even do. I don't think I do. But AJ Styles needs an opponent for SummerSlam. Or I mean, for the Royal Rumble, Patrick O'Dowd. He needs an opponent, someone that we know Styles isn't going to lose because he's probably going to face Shinsuke Nakamura at WrestleMania. He needs an opponent at the Royal Rumble. And who is the opponent in the glass case sitting over there in SmackDown that we know will deliver a hell of a performance against AJ Styles in a match where you know the challenger's not going to win? That's our good friend, the man we've pulled for years, Dolph Ziggler. I'm calling it right now. It will be Dolph Ziggler versus AJ Styles at the Royal Rumble. And it will be just as glorious as Dolph Ziggler against Dean Ambrose was at SummerSlam a couple years ago when you knew damn well Ziggler wasn't winning that match either. But I think and then Ziggler might as well disappear for a few months because he ain't doing shit at WrestleMania.
Sure. He'll be in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
That's why he might as well disappear. I just wrote an article about it.
Yep.
You can find it over at thechairshot.com, cheap plug. It's still one of the featured articles. Asking if Dolph Ziggler needs a manager because there's this whole push about Ziggler needing a manager. I'm like, Ziggler needs to disappear. Not forever, just long enough to where he's fresh when he comes back again. Because honestly, he ain't doing shit at WrestleMania. Let him go. Don't even put him in the stupid Battle Royal. There's a reason Samoa Joe wasn't in that Battle Royal last year at WrestleMania. Since it would have been a waste of Samoa Joe to be in that Battle Royal. Fucking Braun Strowman was in the Battle Royal. Samoa Joe wasn't. And I think you just keep Dolph Ziggler out of it completely so that when he makes a big return, it actually means something and he can actually perform again at a high level. Because that's what you do with a guy like Dolph Ziggler. You let him go away, freshen up, and then come back. But we can move on to your next topic. I love the next topic.
All right. So the next topic, I sent this article to you, though you already knew about it. We're not going into details about the article itself, but the big headline is that Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks have made news that they're looking to run an event in a 10,000-seat arena.
Yes.
Now, there are some bullets under here.
If I know what you're about to talk about and the news you may have seen, it might have changed some of this. But this was all born out of a tweet from Dave Meltzer, the aforementioned Dave Meltzer. All he said was that Ring of Honor is not drawing 10,000 anytime soon. That's all he said. He didn't say never. I'm fucking defending Dave Meltzer. Like, what has happened to me? I'm defending Dave Meltzer because he deserves it in this case. And this isn't anything about Dave Meltzer, but he said Ring of Honor won't draw 10,000 anytime soon, and Cody Rhodes was like, challenge accepted. I bet we can. And that was when this began. So you've got something, so take it from there.
So, Okay, so as we were talking on this show, and you know, we keep the Twitter up, and this is the whole reason why I fell in love with this, because you know, there's a couple other bullets that you didn't hit on in there, talking about like the funding, and then I think you've got a bold prediction. But I just saw this article.
The funding. Do you want me to talk about the funding, or are you going to cover?
Yeah, go ahead. Hit all the bullets, because I want to hear the full talk on this.
Well, I'm not giving you the bold prediction until the end, but. This, first of all, it's the motivation we already talked about. It's the self-funding. So this is reportedly being 100% funded by Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks, although he made a statement today this week on Busted Open that makes me think otherwise. But this is going to happen likely in the United States of America or Canada. Well, if it's in the United States of America, the Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes are under contract to Ring of Honor. And that contract stipulates they can only perform for Ring of Honor in the United States of America. And I firmly believe this will be a Ring of Honor event when all is said and done. And that's fine. Now, they may be partnering with Ring of Honor. They may be footing the bill to make this thing bigger and to help Ring of Honor. And they're great partners with Joe Koff and everybody else in Ring of Honor. And this is the flexibility that Ring of Honor offers. And I could see New Japan talent being there. If they're trying to pull this thing off, you know damn well Kenny Omega is going to be there. They're not going to schedule it against a show that New Japan is running. They wouldn't do that. They want to have that talent at their disposal. They're not stupid. So, no, I firmly believe there will be that Ring of Honor involvement. I'm not so sure it's going to be 100% funded by them. That's something that I read today. I don't know if it's part of what you read. So,
yeah.
I'm saving the bold prediction for the end. So go ahead.
So as you know, we keep the Twitter feeds up. We sometimes, you know, get stuff live in. And our friends at 411media.com, they put a lot of their articles on the Twitter. And so I'm sitting there looking at our rundown, flipping between Twitter, and then I see this headline, and I'll just read the headline, and then I'm going to read the whole article for you, just so that we can have fun with this. The headline is Cody Rhodes wants to face Daniel Bryan at 10,000 seat event. This is posted by our good friend Jeremy Thomas. Cody Rhodes has his dream opponent for his self-financed 10,000 seat event that he and the Young Bucks are planning for in 2018. Rhodes told Busted Open Radio that he would like to face Daniel Bryan at the show. Bryan's contract with the WWE is set to expire next summer. Rhodes said he can't give out too much information yet as the location isn't confirmed, but said that they're swinging for the ... fences. When asked why they were doing it, Rhodes said they wanted to leave the industry better than when they found it. Bryan has been outspoken about his desire to return to the ring, blah, 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 blah. And then he thinks that there's an 85% chance that he will wrestle again.
So here's the thing. Okay, I read a different transcript of that interview with Cody Rhodes than what 411 Mania has. Cody Rhodes was asked about his dream opponent, and basically was like, if I could make it happen, it would be me and Daniel Bryan in the main event for the Ring of Honor World Championship, is what he said. In no way was he actually saying that's probably going to happen. He's not trying to say that he's trying to make this match happen. He would just love that to be the match. That's all he's saying. He's not trying to say this is going to happen. If Daniel Bryan wrestles, it's going to be for the WWE. It's not going to be for Ring of Honor. It's not going to be for New Japan. It's not going to be anywhere. Daniel Bryan recently said he was working on it. He even hinted that the company might be relenting a little bit. When the man, I think he will wrestle again, and I think it'll be for the WWE. And that's for the best, because he'll make the most money. He'll be the most well-protected. He'll have the lightest schedule. All those things will take place if he wrestles again in the WWE. Because if Kurt Angle can fucking do it, so can Daniel Bryan. And I think he will. I believe he will. I don't think it'll be WrestleMania. I think it may be WrestleMania 35. I don't think it'll be, you know, maybe SummerSlam at best, Survivor Series. I think he'll have a program that could run from, like, Survivor Series to Mania, do something like that, and that'll be Daniel Bryan's thing. But it's not going to be at this show. Another thing that he said in that interview was he talked about the self-funding. But then he said a lot of people want to come on board and help out, which means it's not self-funded anymore. Like, these people will come on board and help out, and you won't turn them away because they're not stupid. They're not going to turn away financial support for a show. You know, if it's in Chicago, you know Pro Wrestling Tees is going to want to help sponsor that thing because they're running a Chicago. Do you think the Bullet Club, do you think that the Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes could get sponsors for this show? Of course they can. Like, it'd be stupid to think they can't. So, but again, the fans are going to want to believe this is 100% self-funded by these guys, and I'm sure they're willing to do it. I'm sure they'd be 100% willing to self-fund this show and have the means to do it. So I think you can run a 10,000-seat arena, put on that show, stock you with talent, stock you with operations, insurance, which, by the way, is not cheap, I can tell you from experience, and for probably a good 100, 150 grand, okay? And those three guys can do that, especially Cody Rhodes has made millions. He said it to himself. He's a multimillionaire. He could afford to foot the bill for 150 grand for a show, and that, you could do this for that, and you would get that back and more. If you sell 10,000 tickets at 10 bucks a pop, that's 100 grand. You're not selling them at 10 bucks a pop, all right? At least not most of them. All right, you're making probably triple that easily coming through the door. And that's not even counting merchandise, any residuals from concessions, all that stuff. Like, this is a business proposition that 99% of you listening don't know about and don't understand how it works. And that's okay. Don't try to. Don't worry about it. Just sit back and enjoy the ride. I think this is going to happen. I'm 100% confident. It's the first time I read about it. And the first time Cody was like, it's out there, it's far enough along that we can confirm it, I am 100% confident this will happen. And honestly, I think it'll work. I think it'll draw 10,000 or close to it. I really do.
Sure. I don't see any reason why this can't be successful. You know what I mean? I think that you're looking at three highly motivated men with backing elsewhere, like you talked about, to do this. And they will find the right time. They will find the right location, and they'll make it a draw, and they'll make it something that people will go to see. So, absolutely, buy it's going to happen. What I love, and the reason why this attracted my attention is because of the speculation that gets created by an event like this. Like it's perfect for what we do.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan is not wrestling Cody Rhodes at this event. It's not happening.
Nope.
And Cody Rhodes doesn't think it's happening. And Cody Rhodes isn't even making you think it's happening. Cody Rhodes was asked, who would your dream opponent be? All right, they didn't know he was going to say Daniel Bryan. Bully Ray didn't know that's what he was going to say when he asked him that question. If it was Bully Ray, it might have been David LaGreca. I don't know who it was. It might have even been Larry Dallas. Who knows? But, it just shows that we know who was busted open. But it's he was asked a question and he answered it. Honestly, and it wasn't done to say that he wasn't even trying to manipulate the internet like Finn Balor is, according to some people. It was just him giving an honest answer to an honest question. I don't think that's going to be the main event of that show at all. And I think it's stupid for people to think otherwise. Daniel Bryan will wrestle again. And I've said before, on record, he will never wrestle again. And I have changed my tune because I'm allowed to do that. And I admit when I do it. I'm not going to sit here and be like, I always said he was going to wrestle. No, it wasn't in the past few months that I thought Daniel Bryan would wrestle again. And I think he will. The only thing I did say was if he ever wrestled again, it would be for the WWE. And I think it will be for the WWE. But I do think someone will wrestle on this show, Patrick O'Dowd.
Oh, do you?
And that's the bold prediction. That's where the bold prediction comes into play. I'm trying to see if I have any sound bites that go along with this guy. I don't know that I do. But because it's someone that we don't even really talk about anymore, with good reason, because this person loves to be in the spotlight when he can be in the spotlight and then disappears, when he can disappear and come back and forth and do whatever he wants, and it's one that people would definitely shell out a lot of bucks to see on a show, Patrick O'Dowd, and it's someone who I on this program and elsewhere have said will return to wrestling by WrestleMania 35. And in fact, I could see this person wrestling against Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania 35, Patrick O'Dowd. This person is close with the Young Bucks. This person is probably now close with Cody Rhodes. This person, I think probably at this point misses wrestling in a wrestling ring. And I will make the bold prediction. This is all about bold predictions today. That wasn't even the plan. I will make the bold prediction right now. The 10,000-seat fan show will happen. It will be put on by Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks, and it will feature CM Punk. I am going all in. 100% chance, Patrick O'Dowd, CM Punk will be on this show. Not at this show, not sitting in the front row, unless they intend to actually make this a promotion and garner attention by having the surprise of CM Punk in the front row. But you want to fill an arena, and you want to guarantee yourself a hell of a gate, and you have the means to do so, and you have the connections, and you have the friendship with the guy, you card out CM Punk. And that's what I think they're going to do on this show.
Yeah, that would be huge.
And just so that the listener can know, Patrick O'Dowd did not know that was my prediction. On the rundown, it just says bold prediction. I wouldn't even tell him.
Man.
And when we were DMing back and forth about this earlier in the day, I didn't even hint at this one because I like to do that, I guess. But, yeah, I honestly think that CM Punk will
be. As you were going into the description, yeah. As you were getting the description, I could see where you're going, because, you know, I'm not an idiot.
No, I knew, yeah. I knew you'd figure it out. And who knows?
Aw, Puddin.
Maybe AJ wrestles, too. It's you know, all I'm saying is these guys have the connections to make something like this happen. It wouldn't shock me, even though it's not the best place in the world to have the show, if they don't have it outside of L.A. You know, New Japan drew really well in L.A. They've got some connections there. I know Cody even commented that someone talked about Ontario before they should have. Now, the report that I read said Ontario and then put California in parentheses because there is an Ontario in California. But the hottest place in professional wrestling right now is Canada. And the Ontario market has got like 8 fucking promotions. They're all drawing really well. Ethan Page's promotion that we've talked about on this show, Alpha One Wrestling, just finished off year number 8. Year number 8, when we first had him on the show, it was year number 4. And he was going to shut down because someone stole a camera. And that's how much, you know, Ontario is booming right now. He's now going on year number 8 and was obviously able to replace the equipment that was stolen. But you know, I could see it being in Canada very easily. Toronto, Ontario would draw huge for something like this. I think Kenny Omega is going to be there. I can see some other New Japan people. You're going to have all the Ring of Honor regulars will probably be available to them for the show. The Briscoes, Jay Lethal, all those guys will be on the show. But I think CM Punk's going to be there. To be honest, and it's just a gut instinct kind of a thing.
I look forward to the show when you announce when that comes out. Like, because that'll be a fun show for us.
Yeah, it's going to be.
You're really really
be,
annoying show
be
for
lots
me.
Of fun. You'll be fine.
I'd be
ready
fine.
For CM Punk to come back.
I don't really care. Like, I know.
I'm
right. I don't.
As much as I have slammed the guy, I'm ready for CM Punk to come back. As long as he, because
like,
I think it would be fun. I think it would be fun, and I think he would enjoy
sure.
it. Sure.
I mean, if he comes
and
back, great. Like, I guess I should say it this way. Like, if he comes back, okay. Like, I'll be fine. Like, I'm not going to mind, you know, that. But I still, like, I really still hold, I don't like the guy. He was always kind of a jerk, and I still kind of resent him for the way that, you know, the way that he left and he acted when he left. I don't care. Like, if he comes back.
I don't disagree.
If he comes back, okay, fine.
I don't release
fine.
Him from that either.
Sure. And I'll be, like, if he comes back, it'll be fine. Like, I'll watch him. I'm not clamoring for him to come back.
Right. No. And I think he's in the right environment.
He's worth watching.
WWE.
Yeah.
Right.
He's worth watching just because he'd be a great story. Like, and I get that.
It would be.
But in
this environment, a show put on by Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks and Ring of Honor, he would be happy Punk. And he would be entertaining Punk. He wouldn't be hateful. Hopefully, he wouldn't go out there and cut the stupid anti-WWE promo that people tried to do, and it just seems forced. And Austin Aries really fell flat on his face with it this past weekend at Tommy Dreamer's House of Hardcore, and it just did not work out the way I thought Austin Aries thought it would. I think people are even tired of that whole shtick. But no, I think CM Punk coming back is a good thing. I think it'll happen. I think the show will happen. And we're going to follow it closely because I think it'll be a lot of fun. However, that brings us to a very, very special point.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out.
It is our three-minute warning. We got 3 minutes till we're out of here. As my guilty pleasure favorite band, Two Skinny Jays, likes to say, Patrick, I'm going to change it up. The three-minute warning is not going to be what's listed on the rundown. It's going to be what was listed before it. And then this past weekend, the WWE held a house show, a very special house show in Greensboro, North Carolina. A house show that, by the way, drew over 10,000 people. This being the magic number all of a sudden is 10,000. To the Greensboro Coliseum, their biggest house in Greensboro in over a decade, by the way, and that was WWE Starrcade. And Patrick O'Dowd, did you see Starrcade?
No.
No,
well,
no. Did I watch Starrcade?
No.
No. Did anyone listening probably watch Starrcade? Maybe one or two. But, you know, I had
to
have it in Greensboro. Because it wasn't on the WWE Network. And everyone's losing their shit over this. They're still talking about the fact that Starrcade wasn't on the WWE Network. And I'll be honest with you, Patrick Goodout, I don't get it. Why did this need to be on the network? Can you tell me why this needed to be on the network?
I don't think it needed to be on the network, but I know why people are clamoring it for it to have been on the network, because the WWE named the show. They named the show. Like, they gave it a name, and so suddenly fans, like, there's a level of entitlement there. Oh, this is special. And special in a way that meant, special means I should get to watch it, so it should be on the WWE Network, because you named a house show. And so it's like, you know, I see this every once in a while pop up with Madison Square Garden house shows, too. Like, people will be like, why isn't this show on the network? Because they don't do that with house shows. Like, you know, I actually kind of made fun of the show. It's a nice little nostalgia cash-in to have for North Carolina.
Yeah.
And there's no need for it to be on the network.
No, there's no – but in fact, this show, the Starrcade, what they did with Starrcade and how they used – Starrcade and people thought they're shitting on the legacy of the NWA and Dusty Rhodes and WCW and whatever, which I don't buy into one bit. This is exactly what they should be doing, in my opinion, with an event like Starrcade. A couple months ago, we recorded a show, and the show did make air. There's only one little bit of footage that we haven't aired for the show, and maybe we'll find a way to use it at some point. But it would just prove that we were right in what they could do with Rusev, because they've done one of the things that we suggested. But we talked about Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and X-Pac, and because Scott Hall had teased that he was ready for an in-ring return. And I made a suggestion on how these guys could have an in-ring return and how they could be used. Do you remember what that suggestion was?
Oh, it was to bring him in and do things like have Arn Anderson spine busts.
Right. Use them on the house shows. Make the house shows special. You don't need to put this on the network. In fact, you know what? Next October, run a Halloween Havoc house show. I'm fine with it. Don't put it on the network. Here's the other thing. You know, if a WWE really wanted to, they could go to the Dunkin' Donut Center in Providence, Rhode Island, and this has historical significance, and they could run a King of the Ring house show. Because Providence, Rhode Island hosted many King of the Ring tournaments before it was ever a pay-per-view. Right? It was a big deal in the New England area. They could do it again. Do you know how pissed off people would be that King of the Ring wasn't on pay-per-view or on the network? I'd be upset because I love the King of the Ring. But it would be smart for them to do, because it would draw a tremendous house. They are a live event business in so many ways. It's part of their business. It's not the only part of their business like it used to be. All right, but the house shows could be important. They could be a moneymaker with things like this. And I have no problem with it being a house show. No.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I kind of wish they would – I really wish they would have not made Clash of Champions a pay-per-view event. Because I think that one translated very well to the concept of a house show. Because when you think about what Clash of Champions was.
But it was really a made-for-TV event from the start.
True, but I'm just saying, like, you could run what Starrcade was made for. Like, Starrcade was made for TV too. Like, it was closed circuit television. Like, it was an event. It was a spectacle. I'm just saying, Clash of Champions could have worked. I mean, I would have liked it to have been a fun televised, like, regular show thing too. But it's one of those things you could make these, like, or maybe even bring back In Your House. Like, you don't even have to use the WCW pay-per-views. Like, they used to do In Your Houses all the time for, like, different stuff, so.
You can make American Bash. Go to Baltimore. American Bash house over summer. I'll tell you, this is really pissing some people off. It's War Games.
Oh, don't say it.
But it's true, because here's the thing. I've seen War Games, that's ever War Games match. Funny, because there's like 28 of them. Two of them.
So this is the point of the podcast where I tell you your phone's cutting out, dude. Yeah, you're cutting out pretty hard. And we may have lost Greg DeMarco, everybody.
Is it a 3-minute warning?
And it's like the 0-minute warning. Rosie and Jamal are taking you out. So, DeMarco, you still there? Not really. Isn't the internet's way of telling you that we did the show? There you go. Now I hear you now.
So here's
it's all working.
Am I here?
Yes, you still sound a little dicey, but you're I can hear you.
It's okay. Here. I saw War Games Live. It was an house show event. They ran War Games every...
Nope, you're gone again.
I can hear.
You're cutting out again, dude. Your phone's off. You're still cutting out, man.
Hoping that it's back.
Something back.
Anything?
That's
what's that?
Hello? Greg
DeMarco. I need you. I can't live without you. I want you right now.
Future endeavors.
Would you shut the hell up?